Now, Princess Diana would no doubt be shocked to find, if you did a Google search for conspiracy theories, Princess Diana, in less than a tenth of a second, you'd probably get more than 1.5 million responses. Many of those are the fruits of Fayed's decade and a half long campaign against the truth of how she died while in his care. We're going to talk now to John Morgan, who's an investigative journalist who's spent many years investigating the evidence relating to the crash in which Princess Diana lost her life and the subsequent cover-up by the British and French authorities. I'm delighted to welcome John to the show. Good morning, John.
Hello, Bill. Yeah, thanks very much for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for joining us. You're in no doubt. I mean, you've written many books on this subject. When did you begin to start investigating this, John?
Yeah, well, I first, became interested when Paul Burrell, the butler, Diana's butler, he wrote a book and he published a note that in Princess Diana's own handwriting, predicting that she could die in a car crash. And when I saw that, I sort of, when the crash had happened, I think there was some suspicion around it, but I didn't really think too much about it. But when he published that in 2003, I started sort of thinking more about it. And I probably started doing the research in about 2005, and I've been working on it pretty solidly since then, so it's about 8 years of research.
I mean, your books are not small books, John. They're serious tomes of wisdom about this.
Well, they are, yeah. It's in-depth research. The books are evidence-based. They're based on the evidence from the inquest in 2007-08, and also they're based on the Operation Paget, the Paget Report, that was released in December 2006 by the British Police. And also in 2010, I received a batch of documents that were from within, inside the police investigation, and they were documents the jury were not shown at the inquest. And so the books are based on a combination of all the three sources of evidence. Of course, there's a lot of witness evidence in there that was given at the inquest and also in the Paget.
I suppose it's fair to say, John, that from your point of view, the car crash that killed Princess Diana was orchestrated by MI6, for a start, and you say that there's corruption in both the French and British police investigations.
Yeah, that's right. The evidence certainly points to MI6, also involvement by the CIA and the French intelligence. The MI6 couldn't do it on their own, particularly when it happened in France, but basically they were the ones involved on the night. And after the crash, the cover-up sort of started almost immediately in France and then in Britain, and it's just been one huge cover-up by the police in both countries.
In your view then, John, who wanted Princess Diana dead and why?
Well, there's a few people who wanted her dead. She was upsetting people in high places in the British establishment. The senior royals were basically behind the assassination, and also there was involvement by the British government and the American and French governments. So all three governments being the countries representing the countries that are the biggest arms dealers in the West, and Diana was being very publicly speaking out on landmines, speaking out against landmines, and she visited Bosnia and Angola and walked through the minefields, and most people can remember the TV footage from there, and she had a huge impact on when she did anything like this, and it was, I believe it was causing fear in the arms industries. But also the royals, I think basically Diana was a problem for the royals right from 1992 when she collaborated with Andrew Morton in his book that was published, her true story. There was sort of something that was unprecedented in the royal family, where someone had sort of gone public with information that the royals didn't want made public.
Yeah.
And then and later in 1995, that when I go back to 1992, that triggered actually the separation between Charles and Diana. And then in 1995, Diana went public even more powerfully on the Panorama in the UK in November 95, and that was something that obviously went down pretty badly with the Royal. So it was a sort of build-up of things there, and after that, the divorce was forced on the Diana and Charles by the Queen.
Now, you mentioned that back in 1995, that was when, I believe, Princess Diana said to her then lawyer, Lord Victor Mishcon, about an orchestrated car crash. The following day, Mishcon drew up a note that became known as the Mishcon Note, and after the crash, he delivered that note to the then police commissioner, Lord Paul Condon. What happened to that note?
Yeah, well, what happened is, like, I think Mishcon, he had that note, you know, Diana predicting that she'd die in a car crash. He, obviously the crash happened, he probably just thought it was an accident like everyone did, followed by the paparazzi and an accident happened. But then on September the 17th, the French went public with information about the white Fiat Uno that had had contact with the Mercedes in the tunnel, and also that they had found pieces of the Fiat Uno in the tunnel. And on the Mercedes, there was paint, white paint from the Uno. So the French were saying, well, the driver hasn't come forward. So there you've got a situation where there's another party involved there that hadn't come forward. And obviously that raises the possibility of suspicion. And so the next day on the 18th, Victor Mishcon came into the police with the note about that Diana was predicting that she could die in a car crash. And and Paul Condon, the Commissioner of Police, basically locked that note up in his safe, in his office safe, and it stayed there for 6 years. So, you know, it's a situation where a person is predicting they die in a car crash, the car crash happens, they do die, and then the police are provided with a piece of evidence saying that the person had predicted the death in a car crash. So it would be natural for the police to investigate it. That's what we'd all expect and hope, if that's what happened to any of us.
Sure.
And yet it happened to Princess Diana, and the note gets locked away, and absolutely no investigation took place regarding that, the information in that note.
You're not only saying that Paul Condon knew about this, you're saying that Lord John Stevens as well, the police commissioner, actually committed perjury at the London inquest by saying it was Diana's lawyer who had insisted that the note was suppressed.
Yeah, that's right. What happened is Condon was commissioner until 2000, so he was there for another 2.5 years after he received the note, and then Stevens took over, and the note was obviously, the custody of the note was passed to him, and he held on to it for another 3.5 years. And yeah, they, at the inquest, well, both Condon and Stevens were saying that that Victor Mishcon had insisted on the note being suppressed, that he didn't want the note public because it would cause harm to William and Harry. And, you know, the reality is, like, if a person's been, if there's a possibility of an assassination, and obviously when someone predicts that they're going to die in a car crash, and they do, then you have to raise that possibility of an assassination. So,
of course.
What's more important, that there could be harm to children, or that the truth comes out and there's justice for Diana, you know. So I think that the boys would want justice anyway. So I sort of... But anyway, they put that on to Mishcon, and when you look at the evidence, that's totally unjustified, that Mishcon was not saying what they said. That the reason they suppressed it was because... that they were protecting the people who perpetrated the crash, whereas Condon innocently brought the note in, hoping that there would be an investigation, but that never occurred.
I mean, you've done all this research over the years. Many, many other people have done research into this. Mohammed El-Fayed spent a fortune. He made a movie. He went to court. How has it been buried, if it's been buried?
Well, excuse me, you've got huge forces at work here. I mean, you know, the British establishment is extremely powerful, and so it's just a complete cover-up, and, you know, there's various reasons why people cover stuff up, but if, you know, they could be threatened, they could be paid money or whatever, but there's a lot of people involved, but they're basically protecting the monarchy. I suppose that would be the main issue here. It's just, I imagine that, you know, the truth is sort of, will slowly come out, but I imagine it'll be in the future, you know. It's just, the evidence of a cover-up is huge. I mean, if you read these books, I challenge anyone to read these books properly and come away thinking that there's no cover-up and that there was no assassination. There was an assassination and there was a cover-up. The cover-up becomes essential to protect the monarchy and the authorities.
See, what I can't get my head round about this is that, being a British citizen myself, if I realised that the British monarchy had covered this up and it was able to be proved that they had, the British public would be up in arms. That's an understatement to say the British public would be up in arms. So, you know, and your books, amongst many other people's investigations, are not based on your kind of theories on it. They're based on facts.
These books are extremely evidence-based, you know. That's it. It's based on the evidence, the witness evidence, the documentary evidence. It's gone through extremely thoroughly. I've spent 8 years on the series. There's quite a few volumes, but it's a huge subject. And the thing is that when you orchestrate a car crash, it's not like putting a bullet into someone. It's a far more difficult process, but, you know, they had to, with Diana, to assassinate Diana, it had to be something that was deniable. And that's the most deniable form of killing someone, is in a car accident. The 3,300 people a day dying on roads and around the world. And so this is just another car crash. And so, you know, but to bring it about, to be able to bring something like that about, it's a hugely complex operation. And that's why the books, and even the inquest that went on for 6 months, you know, it's a huge subject. There are so many different factors involved that had to come together, and they did come together, and they're still coming together in the fact that the cover-up occurred, that the inquest, the way the inquest was conducted as well, is completely corrupt, and the police, the corruption in the police in both Britain and France.
Did it not make it more difficult, John, that this happened? Why did this happen in France? Because surely then you're adding an extra level of complication. You've got to make the French complicit in this. Surely it would have been easier to have done this in the UK.
Yeah, well, I don't think they had much trouble with getting the French on board because of the arms, because France is such a big arms country, and Diana was a real threat to the arms industry. So, you know, like, that's the reason they came in, but I think it's probably a lot better for MI6 to do the operation in France, from the point of view that if it's done in the UK, well, you've got a situation where all the witnesses that come to an inquest can be summoned, whereas in France, most of the witnesses are in France and they're French, and they were involved, like the people doing the corrupt autopsies of Henry Paul, that they could refuse to give evidence. Whereas if that had occurred in England, well, anyone involved could be summoned, and it would have been a much more thorough inquest. As it turned out, there were critical people in France that just said, well, I'm not going. I'm not giving evidence. Yeah. And that's that, you know, so...
Where do we go from here on it, then? I mean, what about Mohammed Al-Fayed himself? Has he given up now?
Well, he seems to have. I sort of feel, I'm not in sort of contact with him, but I feel that he has. I think there was a movie called Unlawful Killing, which was actually scheduled to be shown in American cinemas. It was ready to go, and then it got pulled. So, and he seems to have sort of, whether I feel that he may have had pressure put on. I mean, the British Estonian is very powerful, and who knows what. But, he seems to have sort of completely gone quiet on the whole thing at the moment.
And you say, John, that you think the evidence will come out slowly. Are we not in a Kennedy situation here where we're never actually going to know because it's been so well done?
Oh, look, you can prove this. You know, anyone who reads these books, they will realise what's occurred, but I just hope that the books become more public, but it's so hard to do that. I mean, the media in the UK are being, from what I can see, prevented from covering it. And I just feel that there are a lot of people who would still like to see justice done. I doubt that justice will ever be done, but I think the truth will come out eventually. Like, once the people like the Queen, Prince Philip, once they're dead, I mean, William and Harry, it's hard to imagine they don't want the truth made public. So I would say that in time, the truth will come out.
I know that you yourself, John, are not that well at the moment. You did intend to write another book. Will that happen now?
Yeah, well, I was hoping to. I've had a few scares. Like, I've had a very serious illness, and I've had a few scares in the last 12 months with it, and I sort of feel it's very hard for me to write another volume. So I sort of have basically finished the series with this volume. I've got a hope of still doing another volume, but I don't know whether I'll be able to. So the illness has been going on for 10 years, and it's just getting harder and harder to cope with, you know. So I just have to see how I go on that one. But anyway, I've got a lot of... there's enough evidence there if someone went through it. And, I mean, people do read these books, and so, you know, hopefully it may get some traction in the future.
Well, John, you spent an awful long time looking into this, and you're not doing it for money. You're doing it because you believe that the truth ought to be told, and, no one can hold that against you. Thank you so much, firstly, for joining us, and I hope your health does improve, and I would love to talk to you again as and when that happens.
Oh, thanks very much, Bill. Yeah,
thank you, John.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Right, yeah, thanks.